You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yeah, we back, baby.
We back. We tired.
We got a lot to discuss. Who needs to sleep, bro?
Sleep is for the week.
It's the cousin of death, dude, and I don't want to meet your family.
I ain't interested. Yo, this barbecue is lame as hell, dog.
Bro, why is everyone holding that stick with the weird twisty sword at the end of it, bro? Yo, this cookout sucks, dude. Why's my grandpa here?
Welcome to the Cooligans Women's World Cup Daily. And if you're wondering why we are so somber, even though the U.S. Women's National Team have qualified into the knockout stages, it was not pretty, bro.
Bro, the U.S. Women's National Team qualified for the knockout stages the same way that I got into the soccer team in seventh grade, which is they said everyone's going to run three laps. Whoever comes in last gets cut. We have to cut one more person. I was so slow that I got lapped and finished within that group. I just stopped after one.
What?
And they thought the guy in front of me was the slowest, and he got cut. That's the same way. National team.
What a story of inspiration. Okay, yeah. if that doesn't also motivate you,
let's break this fourth wall for 1 second, Christian. You know me personally.
I do.
Is there a story that more perfectly encapsulates who I am and the way I think?
Right. You just tremendous failing upwards. You know what I mean?
Just mowing backwards up the stairs.
And, you know, and then the coach was just like, I guess he's funny. We'll bring him along, you know?
You know what? He's got bits. The kid's going to play four games in jean shorts. We need this kind of banter.
Bro, all right. So, look, there were a whole slate of matches this morning or wherever you were, whatever time you watched these games. I mean, just highlighting the results very quickly. Vietnam loses to Netherlands 7-0, which no surprise there. That's kind of what we all kind of maybe we expected a better scoreline as far as for Vietnam.
Yeah. Let's remind everyone we could only beat them 3-0, which will come into play in the conversation we're going to have today, I assume.
Haiti versus Denmark. Denmark won 2-0. And China, scored one goal against England's 6. And
they were so happy about that one goal. I mean, this was a massive moment for China.
So good for them. But obviously the game that we're going to be spending pretty much all day talking about is Portugal against the United States of America. And we ain't looking that united, bro. It's just a bunch of American states doing what they do out there. I don't know. They're not really communicating with each other.
I saw three islands out there. Not really unified, bro. That 0-0 against Portugal, bro. We said it on this very show that if the U.S. don't beat Portugal, it would be a catastrophic failure.
Mm-hmm.
We probably meant if Portugal were to win, and they were so close to doing that.
Inches away from just a complete disaster for...
They were a ball hair's length
okay.
away.
Jeez, Alexis, you need to trim, bro.
Christian's like... They were 6 feet away. I'm like, wait, what? Why is your ball hair so long?
Just a cause for concern.
I straighten mine, bro. I straighten mine just so wifey's like, oh, okay.
Damn, Alexa's is doing a silk press down there.
Oh, man, I got a perm.
Okay.
I'm looking like one of those Labradors that gets their hair straight. Like
the keratin treatment. You know what I mean?
Something wrong with that snout, bro.
Anyway.
why do we have here? This was, I don't want to say, the word isn't embarrassing. Unless I'm talking about Vlatko. This was a third confusing game in a row. So frustrating. You know, we get on Vlatko for not making subs, and then the homie brings in a 38-year-old in the 61st minute.
I thought that was the smartest thing he did. I mean, let me say this.
I think she was impactful in a way, but... I'd rather her in 20. You feel me?
No, I get it.
There was better people to bring in at that time.
I gotta just put this out there. I have to apologize to Vlatko Andonovski. I have to apologize publicly to him because I was upset about his lack of substitutions in the game against Netherlands. But I just realized I was apologizing for the wrong thing. I was upset about the wrong thing.
What should you have been upset about?
What I was should have been upset about was that this man tactically has no clue what he is doing. I was upset about the wrong thing. The subs are just the amuse-bouche of problems.
Yes, you're worried about the cough, not about the disease.
Correct.
I see.
What I'm learning is so yes, we did see more substitutions. We saw Megan Rapinoe in this game. Look, the substitution still came kind of late, which is already whatever. We know tactically that is the move, but the game overall. I mean, just the high press. First of all, this is. I would assume that this might have worked in 99. This might have worked in 2003.
You like this might have worked in some pinche training that y'all did, but we in a big competition.
But no, now as far as now, every World Cup, we're always talking about when are the other countries going to catch up? When are they going to catch up? They are caught up. Portugal.
This was their first World Cup, bro. This was their first World Cup, and they took it to us.
As far as it makes me think. I don't know if you've seen this clip of Alphonso Davies recently. He was on some podcast, and he was making an example about how when he first got to Bayern, like he just talks about like a lot of kids. They think that you have to play like Neymar to be a professional footballer. You have to like know all the tricks, know all the moves. You got to be like that to how you define a footballer. And then when he got to Bayern and he was playing against Thomas Müller, he was like, "Yo, this dude is slow. This dude is not physically stronger than anybody, but he's like the reason he's a professional is because he is so technically gifted with his first touch. He's like his first touch will always put the defender in a place that the ball is not there, and he is just such a smart and just an incredible IQ, even though he's not physically as gifted as some of the other athletes. And that's where what I'm seeing with a lot of these the other countries. We're playing like this high press is aggressive. Like let's try to make them make mistakes. These countries are not making mistakes. They're holding onto the ball. They're putting the ball exactly where you. How many fouls did U.S. commit? How many times?
Enough where Roosevelt can't even play the next game.
Right, right. So it is we're just seeing that the other countries, they know, hey, we're not as fast as the U.S. We're not as strong. So we need to be better technically, and the first and second touch for Portugal was essentially flawless. They made the U.S. chase shadows, and that is my frustration with Vlatko of like, why continue playing like this? What happened to just holding onto the ball? Why is Lindsey Horan playing right behind Alex Morgan? She's arguably our best ball handler. Why are you sending her forward just because she's taller. But this is like, I mean, there's a billion things I'm going to go through, but it's just like, this is the difference between the 2019 team and this team is there is no, almost no, virtually no midfield that is there to hold the ball. We had Sam Mewis and Lindsey Horan, who both were unbelievable holding onto the ball. And you see it with Horan where she's physically, like, you can't get around, the players can't get around her. She's not really going to lose the ball. So she needs to be arguably the six. She needs to just be out there holding on to the ball, maintaining possession.
She can't be the six.
No, I'm not saying, I'm like, I
get your point.
But the way this team plays,
you know,
right.
Help lead the attack from a bit further back. Bars, bro. I didn't even know that was going to rhyme. I think what you're talking about, if I could deduce it down even more, is we're still trying to use athleticism when other teams are using tactics.
Yeah.
And our athleticism is no longer, we are not able to bully other teams anymore. We're not able, I mean, there's still some opportunities to do it, but our athleticism isn't going to let us off the hook anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing is in real time when you've got countries like England and Netherlands going out there and bodying people. And when we have to, and we call for it on the show, we said, like, yo, you go against a Vietnam, you got to go out there and you got to score buckets because we go need that. And that's the mentality you need to have. And you're not seeing that. But I do want to say the mentality, when I say that, I don't mean that they lost because they're dancing.
Right, right.
Ain't got shh to do with whether they win or not. Smiling after a tough draw is not the not showing weakness.
The thought of blaming the players here is so wild.
How bad of a dancer you gotta be that when you see someone dancing, you're gonna be like, "That's why they're not winning by more goals."
Yeah,
I can't move my hips.
Let me play. So a lot of people were talking about the comments from Carly Lloyd after, on the Fox broadcast. And they were, you know, it upset a few people. But let me just play that real quick.
We should be expecting to see from a team that survived Portugal and survived to get to the round of 16. I appreciate them taking care of the fans, but let me tell you. Carly Lloyd's butt would be back in the locker room kicking things, throwing things.
I have never witnessed, and just seeing these images for the first time right now on the desk, I have never witnessed something like that. There's a difference between being respectful of the fans and saying hello to your family, but to be dancing, to be smiling. I mean, the player of the match was that post. You're lucky to not be going home right now.
Okay, so I couldn't show the video just in case.
The last part's right.
The last part's right. Yeah.
I'm not going to take that away from her. And look, Carly is very clearly a different type of player and person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Erling Haaland trying to tell Jack Grealish, hey, don't go party tonight. You should go home.
Mm-hmm.
Go home and get rest. And Jack Grealish is like, absolutely. And then goes to a bar. You know what I mean? Like, this style of... her butt would be back in the locker room kicking things. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that sounds a little toxic. I don't lie.
That's also great. Yeah, like why?
Yeah, that's also not the best. You know what I mean? And maybe the team isn't as affected by this loss as you'd like to see, but that doesn't change the tactics and the subs and everything else that Vlatko has put out there. That is not. I said this on the morning show today. I said, bro, it's not a player issue. It's not a mentality issue. We have the right ingredients. It's not getting cooked right.
That's why it's so frustrating because it is such a, in my opinion, a waste of this generational talent. We know how good these players are. We see them in NWSL all the time, or we see them in other leagues around the world. And I mentioned this yesterday on the show. I said, you know, Crystal Dunn is going to move forward. Emily Fox is going to be more responsible for defending when Crystal Dunn was moving forward. Why did she have no options for anyone to pass to? She couldn't pass wide to Sophie Smith because there was maybe one or two defenders there. And then there was no one in the middle for her to give the ball to. Where's Andy Sullivan? Where's Lindsey Horan?
Andy's That's not Andy Sullivan's game. But you should know that when you're the coach
and
you put them in and you send the players up, that's not their game. This is why I don't understand why every boot Ashley Sanchez brought to Australia is clean right now.
Yeah.
Bro, they got to be some stains on them joints, bro. You got to be out there.
I'll say this. I don't think it matters who is on the pitch. They tactically, they are set up to fail, in my opinion. My concern has been attacking, we have the best attack. How many times I said this on the show? We have the best attacking talent in the world. I'm not worried about goals. My concern is defending. It is the complete opposite. We are defending has been at least on par, like kind of
with
what we've
gone forward.
Yeah, we've only given up one goal, and attacking has been a nightmare. They are
abysmal.
I think Megan Rapinoe said this in her post game, just kind of the way she said it. It sounds like there's concern amongst the players tactically how they're playing these games, because she said that we're not drawing them out enough, and that's what's happening, because Lindsay Aranis is going forward. We have too many midfielders that are playing so high up. I almost think we shouldn't even play with three up front. We should control the midfield. Vlaco is trying to overpower teams, and these teams are already at a level where we can't play Red Bull style.
We run into a problem, which is who do you put up front? You know, Alex Morgan is at a part of her career now where she's a little bit better with her back to goal. She's a little bit better linking up play than she is being that speedster that can get behind the line. You have a Sophia Smith, you have an Alyssa Thompson, you have a Lynn Williams, you have a Trinity Rodman. How do you not play some of them?
I have no idea why they look like just so just sloppy in the midfield. Like those times when, you know, you saw Crystal Dunn at times when she was moving the ball forward, and there was a one time when she spun around the defender, and then she shrugged her shoulders. She's like, who am I passing to? Where are my options?
Right. And why did I do all this work if there's no one for me to give this to?
And that is a Vlatko problem. And I understand that there's like, it's difficult to bench, you know, Sophie Smith or Lynn Williams or Trinity Rodman or whatever, but what they're doing is not working. Really, it's clear, and it's so obvious how the U.S. is trying to play. They mentioned this after the game against Netherlands around like triggers and when somebody high presses, like who marks who wherever the ball is, that's when it triggers a certain press or whatever. And it's just the reality is it's just hitting them right in the face. This is not working. This style of play, these countries, they know how to control the game. They know how to control the ball. Portugal, our previous, 12 matches or something against them, it was 39 goals to nothing. So the expectation was it was just going to be a complete slaughter. And Portugal had one of the greatest games of their in their history, and it's almost a shame.
This is a win for them. I mean, it's not going to count points for the, obviously they're not going to get through, but they're going to be able to look back at that game and say, we beat them off the pitch.
Yeah.
We just couldn't finish when we had the chance. And look, I also don't want to get away from the fact that Portugal needed to play their best game they've ever played. And, you know, US didn't look good, and we still managed to draw. Like we still have an advantage. The frustrating part is that Vlaco is not allowing us to use that advantage. He's not allowing us to benefit from that advantage. This is, I've said the my issues with the subs before. I don't understand this. I mean, I don't want to curse, but yeah, I don't understand why Julie Ertz is still on that back line, bro.
Yeah.
And no trabaja, it don't work. Sofia Huerta, you brought her up, would be great. I forgot Sonnet was even on this team. No. Why do we have so many incredible players on this bench? And when you've seen three matches in a row where this isn't working, and I get that we're kind of asking to be wildly dominant, but I don't think it's a lot to ask to beat in a wildly important game to score one or two against Portugal, who you've beaten.
Look at, I mean,
so many times
the possession. How do we have 44% possession to their 56? Like that. I mean, you go into how were we talking about this game when we were previewing this match? We were just like, "Yo, we're gonna win. We're gonna dominate." It's like not even because that is just maybe it's just us being delusional Americans. But you would have to think that just given even the quality of players that the U.S. has over Portugal, that it should have been not necessarily easy, but there should have been at least confidence, poise, just a complete knowledge of like we don't have anything to worry about.
How about some fear in the opponent's eyes?
Yeah.
They were not scared of us at all.
At all, bro. It's
shocking in our back line. I mean, Naomi Girma had a great game, I thought. Mm-hmm. She saved our behinds so many times. So many times they were able to break lines. And, you know, from the shots I would see of Lacko on the side, I'm like, bro, I don't get the confidence he knows what he's doing right now.
I
don't think he knows how to stop the bleeding. I think it's... And I'm going to say this. This might be the most high-profile job in all of women's soccer.
But without a doubt, yeah.
Without a doubt. This might even be on par with some of the larger, more profile, high-profile jobs within the whole sport. This might be top 10.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be easy, okay? You'd sign up and you'd be like, you know, Jenny Chu mentioned that Jill Ellis was like 5 months ahead. I already knew the whole squad. I knew the subs. I knew potential people that could sneak in and for who. Mm-hmm. And if this person gets in with the other, we knew what to do if we were up a goal. I already had a plan for what to do. If we were down a goal, I already knew what to. I got an idea that, you know, if you were to flip open Blacko's book, it's just a picture of him, you know. You know, he's like, I'm doodling, bro. Like, we don't need a plan. And it used to be that you really need a plan. You know what I mean? Obviously, you benefited from it. But the U.S. was so much better than everybody else, so much bigger, so much faster, so much stronger, so much more skilled than everyone else. It didn't matter. And now we've inspired a lot of people to beat us, bro, and they're coming for us.
Yeah, dude. I mean, look, I wouldn't go as far as to say it used to be easy because
It used to be easier. It was probably the right way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, just because the quality of the talent, the opposing talent was just not where it is now. But then when I read a few books of some of the 99ers and you know, Brian Escurry's book, she talks about like a lot of the details and of just like the teams that they played against. And some teams were very, very good and kind of on par. And sometimes you need a little bit of luck as well, which is what the U.S. is kind of getting. But this is I don't think there's anyone really to blame. I mean, obviously we're blaming Vlatko, quote unquote, but it's it's such a bigger concern because it's like, you know, especially the U.S. men's national team versus the U.S. women's national team, where the U.S. women's national team always had a much more consistency, a dominance, yes, and winning World Cups and stuff like that. But why the vibes and the chemistry are better in the U.S. men's national team right now than the women's, which that we have never really seen.
It goes back and forth, right? And right now, the men are up.
The men.
You know what I mean? When it comes to vibes. On the vibes chart?
The vibe, which is like, look,
I mean. The vibesometer is really good.
Which,
it's not great over on the women's side.
Right, right. It's just I think it's the concern about like the connection between like the players and the coach, right? I feel everybody wanted Greg Berhalter back. Not everybody, but they were like they enjoyed
right.
the
there was
environment
a belief in their coach.
That he fostered. It was a belief, and that's what I'm seeing. And I you know, if you parse a lot of the comments from the post game comments from the players, they voice frustrations about tactical decisions and how they played, and that's a little bit it's calling out your coach without calling out your coach. You're just saying like, oh, you know, we didn't get them to press us. They didn't play aggressive. They were just waiting on us with the ball and stuff like that. And that is, again, that to me, that's just a complete and you know, direct kind of accusation on the tactics and the coach. And I don't think the players are happy with Vlatko at the moment. And it's not just about subs and minutes. I think there's a deeper concern. The U.S. is playing Sweden next. I don't see it happening. I don't know how we're going to beat Sweden.
I still think we win, but I think it's just going to be another frustrating game. But yeah, I mean, if I were Vlatko, honestly, I would just chill.
You know? At least Vlatko, more than anybody else, needs to chill so hard, deeply. God. Okay,
bro, he needs to find it in his court and meditate a little bit while he chills. I wonder if he's watching League's Cup, and if he is. And he needs to chill. I would suggest doing it with a crisp, cold Coors Light.
That's the move. I mean, look, you have MLS season pass. It's available out in Australia and New Zealand. Okay, you can watch League's Cup. It's not.
Oh, you can see it from the moon, dog. Okay. UAPs are watching it, baby. They're like, who's this Messi guy? Is he one of ours? You know?
So, yes, very important to chill as much as possible because, and, you know, obviously for League's Cup. And tonight, Messi is playing in another League's Cup match. So this is, you know, we're trying to find any opportunities to feel good after the game we just saw against in the World Cup. So,
you know, if you need to make a sub, you know, I would suggest going with shredded lettuce, maybe some good turkey, a little bit of mayo on the tomato, I think is a nice pick. And I would finish that off with a cold, crisp Coors Light. It's the perfect drink to chill with. In fact, I can let you know that it's chilled. Just correct. Like you want to chill with that Blue Mountain.
So this summer, stay passionate and stay refreshed with an ice cold Coors Light, official beer of League's Cup 2023. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
So you look, we need everything we can to find some positivity to go into this next game. My biggest frustration is not really that the U.S. finished second in the group. It is it is what it is. It happens. It is that the team that's second in the group has a way worse television schedule for the U.S. So mm-hmm. if you want to, let's shout out to Alexander Abnos from The Athletic.
The what homie. A good looking dude, by the way.
Alexander, the handsomest. Okay,
Brian, I saw him on TV. I was like, all right, my dude, you glow up. I dropped a skincare.
But look at this. I saw this tweet from him. He said, "U.S. Women's National Team knockout round kickoff times. If they were somehow to make it to the final, and we can see it here on screen. If they won the group, the four games would have been at 10 p.m., 9 p.m., 4 a.m., and 6 a.m. But now as the runner up." It is 5 a.m., 3:30 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m. So we could have had, potentially, if they made it to the final, could have had two games at a nice time. Nice. We could have all gotten some
nice
rest.
Nice for you. I go to bed at 9 p.m. That works for me. I'm up at 3, bro. Y'all need to get on that morning footy schedule.
So that is that was my frustration. I think, you know, the frustration for a lot of people.
Was that Eastern?
Eastern time, yeah, all Eastern time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
But look, now the U.S. is facing Sweden, and they are not the favorites. That's it. It is every team they face going forward, they're going to be the underdogs. They are not really a cohesive team. They can't really score many goals. I don't think Vlatko is going to make any huge changes, especially up front.
No. I think, the question we should ask. What changes, if any? We know Rose Lavelle's not going to be in there.
Right.
Are we going to go back to game one? of the group stage, that lineup? Do you think he's going to keep going with the
Ertz? Scored three goals.
Andy Sullivan.
That was the best version of the team as of right now.
I mean, it was also against Vietnam. Do you think, and we should have scored more, we should have bodied Vietnam. Do you think he goes back to that lineup?
I think he has to. I think that's the best line. Look,
you don't think we see Alana Cook? You don't think we see?
I don't think we see. Put Julie Ertz in the midfield. Sit Andy Sullivan. Start Alana Cook. And I would even be fine
so far.
I would even maybe even try Sofia Huerta over Emily Fox. And I would even maybe even consider starting Megan Rapinoe. Because I understand the concern, but
no disrespect to Megan Rapinoe, she's a winner, yeah, and I would have her on the team.
I would.
She's a 70 minute sub.
I think we can say 70 years old. I don't know.
I mean, closer to it than whatever age Trinity Rodman is.
No, so look, I would change the formation. I would sit either Trinity or probably Alex Morgan. Maybe not Sophia Smith. I think this team needs a different look, a different formation. I think they need more control in the add a midfielder, take away an attacker. That's already my first. That's why I would be fine with Megan Rapinoe. They need a midfield. They cannot win games without some control of the midfield. Yeah, they're not going
to
be tweeting.
I don't want to see a two striker setup, but I need to find a way to keep. I don't mind Trinity Rodman getting benched because I think she could be a super sub. I think she would deliver such a big change of pace. But I need to figure out a way to keep at least Sophia Smith and Alex Morgan. I need to find a way to keep them both. Now, if that means Smith kind of settles back into more of an attacking midfielder role or maybe starts to kind of glide behind Alex Morgan in a more midfielder role, I'm fine with that. So I'm almost comfortable with a 4-2-3-1.
Okay.
Alex Morgan being the one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I just think something has to change. I mean, this is just not working. This game, the U.S., they just look sloppy. They just like not there's no confidence. There's no rapport.
And Netherlands looks so good, and England looks so good. Yo, stop looking good, dog. You looking good is making us look bad, bro.
Bro, we need to. Yeah, we need uglier friends. You know what I mean? Like we can't be hanging out with these gorgeous teams, bro.
Ew, dog. Like yo, you ever be out with your boy, and then you like you know you may have forgotten your anniversary, and they're just talking about the great trip he took his girl on there. And I'm like, bro, your glow up is making me glow down.
You need to stop being so good to your wife, you know?
No, at least publicly, you know? Yo, archive that post real quick.
Yeah, don't be posting on Instagram. Maybe, you know, make a close friends list and get my family
only,
and friends out of it so we don't have to see.
We need you to CF that, bro. We can't. I can't have wifey seeing all these diamonds, bro. You're making it hot in my house.
Really, really bad. I don't know. You know, we tend to be the you know, the comic relief, try to make you feel better about what's going on.
Was there anything funny about this episode?
We try to make people feel better about this, but we're just as concerned as you are. I wish there was better news. If we beat Sweden, it'd be like a miracle. I mean, we were talking about Charlie Davies, right? And when the suggestions of switching the lineup. There was a lot of talk about ramping up into the tournament, getting the players more comfortable and all this other stuff. And it's not happening. It is not. Nobody's comfortable. No. There's no.
We're sliding down this ramp, bro. This is not good. Now there's no question now. You have to turn it on.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find a way to be tactically smarter and find a way to be better in front of goal. And find a way to connect these three islands you have out there. Your defenders, your midfield, which has been atrocious, and your forwards. If you can find a way to do that, then we can start to put the pieces together and go on a run. I don't want to lose a World Cup, but I also don't want Vlatko to be confident and think, hey, I did a good job.
No, there's no way. No,
we're sliding closer and closer to having our Garrett Southgate, a guy who just finds a way to win and never gets
sick. I think even if the U.S. win the World Cup, Vlatko's not going to be with the team. I don't see it. I don't see it.
I can't imagine how he stays with this team after this, but we've seen dumber decisions from U.S. soccer.
So we'll see. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us again. A nice little crisis episode for the U.S. Women's National Team. But, you know, we're trying to voice our concerns, and we're hoping for the best. Every other team got the result that they needed, dominating teams, and it's a real cause for concern that the U.S. Does not look very sharp. So we will see what this game against Sweden looks like. And just kind of wishful thinking, hope for the best. But I got a hot take. Go for
it. You want to hear my hot take? That I think having Carly on this team would have helped, because if she was going to go in that locker room and kick stuff, maybe she'd go to the locker room and kick the whiteboard that Blacko was using to pick this lineup and these subs, bro. Kick it, destroy it, do whatever you got to do, so we got to start from scratch, because this ain't it.
Okay. So, look, you know, she still has something to offer, right?
It's what she does off the pitch.
But, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Everybody watching on DraftKings Network, on YouTube, listening to the podcast, make sure you leave a review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts or
hit
on Spotify.
Subscribe.
Hit the
subscribe button.
Okay, por favor. Hit the subscribe button. Shout out to everybody tuning in every day. We appreciate it. We hope you're having fun, and we'll keep doing this. We got, 19 more days of World Cup coverage to go through. So
it's not going to end. It just never ends.
So it's going to be dope. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Peace.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.